Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
We all have different versions of ourselves, right? Maybe it's like, I don't know, an era or a phase, Mum. It was more than just a phase. This is who I really am. The perfect example of it's not just a phase, Mum, is Tom from The Brekkie Show.
Of course.
Emo till he dies.
Still wears skinny jeans.
Skinny jeans, skinny shorts, skinny everything. We all have different, I guess, hats we would put on and for different situations. But we're all who we are. I rediscovered a version of me over the last couple of weeks that hasn't been out for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Probably close to 14, 15 years since this version of me.
Wow.
Handy Tim.
Really?
Like on the tools, Tim.
You did have a phase during like lockdown. 2020 where you decided you were going to be a carpenter.
No. I made a table and chopping boards because I was like, what's a smaller table? Chopping boards. But they had like little ledges so you could lock them into place on your bench.
So you keep telling me, but when you put them out for hard rubbish, did they get collected?
No. But Handy Tim was, you know, using drills, using saws, like power tools as well. Not just talking about dinking around the shed. This was my father-in-law's shed.
I heard you did a bit of tiling.
No, I purposefully stayed away from tiling because I was like, I'm just getting by with timber. Let's not move to another
medium.
No. But my wife and her sister have set up a shop back in the town where they grew up, and I was helping because they thought we don't need contractors. We don't need trading.
No,
we don't need anything.
I've got a husband.
We have men.
And a father.
Yep. So... yeah, my father-in-law, we were calling him Tyler Carpenter by the end of it because that's what his name should have been.
Yep.
But, I mostly helped
him. He's very handy.
He is, and he has all the equipment in his shed, so it's super handy. And maybe your partner or someone you know or you're like this where you've got all the equipment so you can kind of do that. And I love the idea of it, but the cost of setting that up for my own garage
absolutely
scares me. But because I had access to all the things I needed, all the power tools, I was making bench seats, and I was making hot desks and making cabinets,
nice,
making counters, all these things. Measuring sucks. Why why do you work in millimeters? I get it, but God.
Yeah.
But the version...
My table's a little wonky, but it's usable.
The version of me that is just so out of memory from when I used to do a little bit of labouring for cash.
I'm imagining
a teenager.
Like you've got a tool belt on.
No. This is the thing. So exactly.
You spin your hammer, put it in the side of your tool belt.
I was still wearing like linen pants.
Okay, so you're not so far removed.
I'm not like getting dressed up for the occasion.
You're not Scotty Cam.
No. I'm definitely Shayna Blaise. But I acquired a couple of injuries as you would potentially using power tools, and they were quite decent. And I realized obtaining these injuries again, it's just not. I wasn't meant to be a tradie.
Are your hands a little rougher than they usually are?
Yeah, which my wife is thrilled about. I think not. I was gonna say quietly. I think loudly. She's ecstatic that I've got man hands. But I sliced my hand. You can still see a little bit of it, Jess. I sliced it kind of completely, like a nice slice.
You sliced
across
through your lifeline. That's interesting.
The entire. I don't want to get into the hippy dippy shit, Jess. Don't have the time. Sliced across the palm for the whole length of my palm, like removing a sign from a shop front.
Yeah.
Hands bleed a lot, and I also continued to remember that hands bleed a lot when I power drilled into my finger about half of a centimeter. Fingers also bleed, just like the palm of your hand.
Oh, my God.
And I'm remembering about all these things when I was younger and why I never went to trade school. Yeah.
Didn't you slice your thumb off?
Yeah, and they put that back on, and I'm so grateful. And I was like, oh, that sucked. I don't want to be at risk of doing that because I have one thumb that is probably, half a centimeter shorter than the other one because they put it back on funny. So, handy
looks a little, about 4 mil to me.
Yeah, handy to see. This is why I'm not built for it. Maybe you're more built for the handy life. But I'll keep my gentle hands on these beautiful buttons here in the radio studio.
Well, I hope the callus comes back from your finger callus from pushing
from
the buttons.
The one single button in the studio. Well, we'll only find out soon.
This is Tim and Jess.
Have you ever walked into a Bunnings and thought, "Gosh, I really need a number two"? I really wanted to, like, eloquently talk, like walk into this, but
no,
no, we just dove in head first. Have you ever?
Well, that's not how
did you ever get the urge?
That's not how you sit on a toilet.
Okay.
I have. The older we get, the more control we lose over when you want to go number two.
Apparently, this is a big phenomenon. A lot of people have reported going into these big department stores, particularly Bunnings, but other big department stores as well, and walking in and going, oh, God, I just have – all of a sudden the urges hit me. And they're taking to social media to see why that could be happening.
Oh, is it the Bunnings sausages? Is it the smell of the onion and,
well,
the beef?
I mean,
no, if they haven't done a study into it, it
could be contributing, Tim. Because,
conspiracy theory.
A doctor in Sydney, Dr. Zach Turner, said that this kind of occurrence apparently could be the relationship between the brain and the gut, right? So we have a thing in our body called the enteric nervous system, the ENS. And that's basically what governs our digestive processes, right? So the thing that – it's the system that talks from
the
your guts to –
Oh, the ENS. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the PNS. And that's how you – that is how you go to the toilet.
Timothy.
For some. For some. Not all.
Basically, the gut takes cues from your, like, senses, right? So if you walk into a big, like, department store, like a Bunnings, for instance,
okay,
you're smelling the fertilizer, you're smelling the timbers.
Is it whose fertilizer? Is it yours?
You've got the big lights. There's lots of noise going on. Your whole system, your nervous system is...
When was the last time you were at a Bunnings? It shows it's been a while.
Your whole system is going wild. Yeah. And that's what gives you the urge that you need to go to the loo.
Okay.
Because your brain's going, something's happening here. There's lots going on.
What I put this to similarly is when I read my son this particular book at night, when I get to the second page, I always yawn.
Oh, really?
And I think it's because I've noticed that I do it. Now I'm like, I'm not going to yawn. I'm going to hold it in. And then I'll be like, and the little boy in the bed. You know who would be able to answer a lot of the questions we're all having? Dr. Carl.
We haven't gotten him on the show yet.
No.
This year.
Can we try and get Dr. Carl on next week, potentially?
I feel like we need to. I feel like let's reach out. You've got his number in your phone.
He texts more than you would expect Dr. Carl to text me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, let's just ask him, why do I need a poo when I go to Bunnings?
Okay.
I think Loggy has this problem. I feel like she's talked about it on her show before.
I'm not sure.
Loggy from The Breakfast Show.
I am. We'll get Dr. Carl on. It is a strange, because I will have to reach out, obviously, because a friend of ours who's obsessed with Dr. Carl, he's like, oh my God, are you friends with Dr. Carl? And I was like, I think he's friends with me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I don't know.
But I think you're friends
with
him.
Yeah, I'm friends with him.
He's not friends with you.
Me, so, yeah. I'll reach out. Well, Dr. Carl, he always comes to the rescue.
He always comes through and he always has the answers.
Yeah, because
he'll be able to explain the ENS way more than I can.
And the PNS as well, if we need to. He will. Tell me he won't.
He will.
Exactly.
If he needs to.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait. Sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
A big show coming to Costa Hall in mid-Feb, Jess. We are so keen for a very familiar voice and face to be coming back to Geelong.
Yes. Love when we get to see Amy Shark in town.
The solo acoustic songs and stories tour coming to Geelong. We'll get to the details a little bit later. But Amy Shark joins us now on the show. Amy, so good to speak to you again. You must be really keen getting out and about touring at the moment.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I'm having a good time. It's such a different show. It's more than I could ever expect. It's just very, and I hate this word, but it's so rewarding.
Amy, I was saying this to Tim before, you know, we jumped on this chat. Like, this is something so different to what we usually see from not just you, from a lot of artists. Like, you're doing the entire show acoustically. So it's just you and a guitar on the stage, right?
Yeah, I did drag along one guy, Brad from my band, who he's actually a bit of a mastermind. He just sets up all my stuff because I suck at all that. So he sets all that up and he plays a bit of keys for me. And it's every song just sounds so beautiful. And I think in a way, like, people understand the stories of the songs a lot better because there's like no big production and there's no pyro. And it's like people are really listening to every word, which is super intense. And I think selfishly for me, helps me remember why I wrote it. And so it's quite an emotional feeling sometimes, you know, it kind of just creeps up on you, and it's really great. I've missed it a lot.
From what I understand, most of the songs, if not all the songs, like, you'll tell a bit of a story about whether how it came about or what the song's about or those kind of things. Is that something that you, like, I imagine every time you tell it, even for the same song to all your different shows, because you're doing so many shows, I imagine, like, the fun is getting to tell that story differently because you're interpreting it a totally different way, I guess, every single time.
It is funny, man, because some nights I'm in a funny mood. Like, some nights I'm in a bit of a wacky mood. So there's, like, the other night in, where was I? I think it was in Mandra. I, like, just remembered this funny thing, what happened when I was recording with Ed Sheeran. There's just all these little things that pop into my head that I've now got the freedom of just, like, telling these stories. I'm not on this crazy time thing where, you know, when you do arena shows, they have to be so slick and you have to be on time, and there's time codes with lights, with pyro, with the band. This time I can be like, oh, actually, this is a funny story. Wait till you hear this. And so I'm kind of just like outing all this stuff, and it's just like, it actually is just so funny. Like, it's a good balance of emotional stuff and what I've kind of, I guess, been through, and the industry, the sort of the highs and lows of it, and then also just some funny things that people just don't know that have happened. So it's a really good balance of stories. And yes, I can go a bit loose sometimes, which is fun.
Amy, it does also feel very intimate. Like, yeah. Is there any songs in particular that you know, people might not know the meanings behind those songs that you're going to reveal?
Or like a surprising meaning.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I have got a song called Leave Us Alone, and I think that hits people hard because it wasn't really a single, but it's one of my favorite songs. And also Mess Her Up, I sort of, sometimes I hear the crowd after I sort of tell them why I wrote it, and I try and tiptoe around not giving too much information because it kind of paints me in a pretty bad light. So it's just really interesting to, like, watch people's faces, and that's another thing. I'm like, they're smaller rooms, so I can, like, really feel the energy and I can see people's faces, and it's just super intense, but I kind of get off on that.
From all I've seen, I'm super curious, and you might not have the answer for this, but from the photos and the production we've seen, it's like you with your acoustic guitar sitting on a stage, and there could what only be described as 7,000 candles around you. What's your candle budget for this tour? Are you reusing them? I need to know.
Such a big budget. Well, I don't have to pay my band, so it's great. No, I don't know whose job that is, but I know it's someone's job. I'm just never there when the poor person starts lighting all these candles. So,
I want to get so big that I've got a candle guy, Tim.
Yeah, that's big Amy Shark.
That's when you know you've made it, man. You got a candle guy.
Are they, again, yeah. Sorry to harp on the candles, but are they scentless? Are we, like, or is there, are you putting your foot down going, no, I want frangipani. I refuse to go on stage.
Give me coconut lime.
Yeah, I need the right scent to get me in the mood. Yeah, no, I have no idea, man. I honestly get there about a minute before I'm on stage because I hate sitting in green rooms. So I, like, get out the car and walk on stage. I'm like, this looks pretty. Oh, hello, whatever city I'm in. Great, let's do this. And that's about it. And then I make sure I've got a drink next to me. That's the number one most important thing. And then we're good to go. But honestly, I do look at it and I think, wow, this is, someone has put so much effort into this. And I do have a really beautiful team, and they love me and I love them. And it's just a good little family we've got on the road right now. Yeah,
give your candle guy or girl a raise at the end of this, because they've been putting in the work.
Yeah, hey, don't say that.
Amy Shark, the solo acoustic songs and stories tour, it is coming to Costa Hall in Geelong, Tuesday, February 18. We are so keen to have you in town.
I feel like this would be a perfect Valentine's Day gift.
Oh, excellent, yeah. Valentine's Day. You're very intimate. Amy Shark.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hectic, yes.
Thank you so much for swinging by, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for the chat. Tim and Jess, the
podcast. I don't think I'm overselling this when I say the Tim and Jess show nearly didn't make it in today.
Yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance that if one of us didn't, do something.
Yep. We'd still be in my backyard.
Yeah. and look, I think this happens to a lot of people. It just happened to five of us, all at probably the worst time ever, because we got locked into your back courtyard?
Yes.
I guess it's not a backyard, because if it was a backyard, there would have been a gate and we would have not been locked outside.
I've just moved into a new house, and you and your lovely wife and son came down to check out the new park at the end of our street. And then I mean, a series of events occurred that meant we had to rush back to the house.
We weren't going to come to your house
yep.
to visit because on next week we're going to come by and have a look with some friends. And you were like, come back to the house, just have a break, check it out, blah, blah. We're like, great. We go over there and you're showing us through the house, which is lovely, by the way.
Thank you.
I don't think you've officially said where you're moving. We've moved to yet, keeping it quiet.
We've moved to Rippleside.
Sorry, you mispronounced that. Ritual sign.
Okay, all right. Okay. This is why I didn't want to say where it was. But we went out to the backyard and your little son, Jack, was running around.
He's 18 months old. He's in his...
He loves everything.
He's in his sonic era. Yeah. That's what I'm calling it. He's running around. He's doing everything.
And look, he was excited by the backyard, but not as excited as he was about my cat, Penny.
Who's in the house?
And so she was in the house and he kept wanting to go inside the house. So you closed the back door. And unbeknownst to all of us... That door locks automatically.
Yeah, weird feature.
From the outside.
Weird feature. But if in Rippleside, you must protect your wealth.
That's exactly right.
It makes sense. It does make
sense. And we discovered just how impenetrable where my house was.
Super secure where you've just moved to.
There was, one, two, three, four doors that could possibly get us into the house.
All very well locked.
All locked. Multiple locks.
Yeah.
We ended up having to boost you over the fence.
From what I can... gauge from my height, it would have had to have been a 10-foot wall.
It's high. I don't know about 10
well,
foot.
Standing next to it, it was still four heads taller than me. But then I had to stand on a bench seat and then still get your husband to boost me over. So it was a 10-foot wall. And I got over it. I scaled the wall.
So after all of that, we still couldn't get in the front door because it turns out we'd been very safe and we'd locked that behind us.
That was a bit of a shame.
So you had to do the 30-minute round trip to our real estate agent to pick up the spare keys.
They're like, you don't look like Jess. I was like, well, I locked her out of her house, so can you please give me the keys so I can let everyone
out. I had
a
lovely morning
catching up with
your wife and playing with Jack. it's funny now, but at the time it was a little stressful.
Well, because you're not familiar enough with the house to know the little tricks.
Well,
or
that's it.
These
you were
things.
Like, there's got to be a window we can jimmy open.
Nah.
Not that I'm aware of. I checked them all when we moved in. The condition report was excellent.
Yeah, when I did bring the keys back and I let everyone back in the house, I did notice as we were leaving, you opened up one of the side windows just in case you
just
got locked out again.
You just never know.
Imagine if you found that out. Even worse, like by yourself, because your phone was inside the house.
Well, because I didn't know that we were going to get locked in the courtyard, so I was locked away from my phone. My phone was ringing while you were gone.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, no. My iWatch died.
Oh, God. So all your forms of communication.
It was a calamity, Tim. Yeah. And it got us thinking on 52232955, when have you locked yourself in or out of somewhere?
They're just fun stories. Mm-hmm. Well, as you're saying. During the moment when you're realizing there's kind of no way around it. And again, we've got a couple of mates in town and all those kind of things. But it's like, all right, well, even if they come here, what are they going to do?
Exactly.
Everything's locked.
And we've only moved in last week, so I haven't given anyone a spare key or anything yet. Yeah. It was just a series of unfortunate events.
Lloyd in Armstrong Creek, where were you locked in or out of?
And my partner and I were locked out of our bedroom.
Locked out of the bedroom?
Yeah, so we had locks on our main bedroom as our kids like to sneak the lollies and the food when we're asleep and out of the pantry. So we thought to make it childproof, we put all the food and all that in our walk-in robe and lock the door.
Amazing.
Childproof, Lloyd. Sounds like Snack City in your walk-in wardrobe.
And closer for the midnight snack, Lloyd.
100%. We always like to have a feed when they're not watching. Anyway. So at one time, my partner and I, we went out for dinner with her mum. She'd come down and we got home and we locked the door behind us. And when we got home, we got into the house and my partner was like, you got the key to get into the room? I'm like, no, well, I thought you had your key. And she's like, no, I don't have my key at all.
Oh, no.
I thought, oh, great. How are we going to get in? You know, and our windows luckily were wound all the way out. So we're still the gap was only let's say 150, 200 mil, which you could think is just very small, right?
Yeah.
Even a human, a natural body like myself couldn't get in there. So, how are we going to get in? And luckily enough, I said to my partner, I said, how about my daughter, Like, she's only four, but she's skinny enough that she can fit through that
gap. She's not 200 mil skinny.
So the tiny little thing that she was, precious little girl, she could push her body through that gap, push the hole through the fly screen, and wiggled her way through the window and unlocked the door for us.
These are the perks of having kids that no one tells you about.
Yeah.
Getting them into small spaces when you need them.
Because, I mean, I think for like a split second, I saw Tim consider throwing his son over the fence and then realized that was going to end poorly.
Yeah, it wouldn't have gone well. So, Lloyd, that is much more impressive, and it seems like you handled it a lot better than what we did. But the show, it actually can go on.
Yes.
So what a huge win for everyone. This is Tim and Jess. For someone who has pretty much nothing to do with this, I think I bring this topic to the show more than you. Can we talk about coffee?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe I'm fascinated about it more because I don't drink it, where it's like it's there for you, it's reliable. Mm-hmm.
It's not faithful.
Yeah, and like you're not a coffee snob.
Oh, no. All coffee is equal to me.
Yeah.
Even if it tastes like garbage, I'm still putting it in my gullet.
And I would say, all right, calm down. You're either like 5 cups a day or no cups a
That's
day.
There
true. Is no.
Yeah.
You're either super conscious and you're like, I need to like help myself, or you're like, bean juice make brain go.
Every
zoom.
Now and then I get like real bad chest pains and I go, oh, gonna lay off the coffees for a while. Yeah.
I was actually talking to someone that reminded me of you. There's this young girl who works in radio. I was catching up with her and she was like, oh yeah, sometimes I just get a little bit in my head and I have 6 coffees and I start shaking when I'm on air. And I was like, oh, my co-host does that. So you're inspiring young girls.
When I'm feeling
Jess.
Anxious, I want more coffee. Sorry.
It's all right. Don't get emotional. It's just coffee. Now, the reason I want to, again, and I flag that I don't drink coffee because I don't claim to know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm no expert, but what I've seen seems bad. Apparently, by the end of the year, a cup of coffee could cost
$12.
12? Yeah. So
12?
I had a feeling it was bad. I've been holding on to this and I was like, is everything okay?
Okay, just to give you a bit of context, because I know you don't drink coffee.
Mm.
Currently, my current order at the moment
Give me your order.
Is like a skinny iced latte, right? And that can range anywhere from $6 to $7.50.
Okay.
Depending on how fancy the cafe
That's
is.
That's about half of what I just said. So that would be it.
Yeah. When I first started drinking coffee, like a cappuccino probably cost about $2.50 to $3. So things have definitely increased.
Yeah.
But $12? 12?
So you're telling me my spidey senses were spot on when I saw that and thought, geez, I don't drink coffee, but that does sound expensive.
It feels like a lot.
Also, apparently a pint of beer could be around $15. Again, I don't drink a lot.
So there was that story.
Are my spidey senses... Is $15 a lot for a beer these days?
Did you see that story earlier in the week of a bloke who was outraged because he had to pay $22 for a pint in Sydney?
Ah, so it is bad.
Yeah.
Again, I'm happy with where my spidey senses are. Because I'm not buying, I'm not spending money on these things to know.
Yeah.
But to be fair, I did pretty much stop drinking because it was so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like I'm going to do this for me or I'm going to do this for my health. It was like 3 beers. Hurts. It hurts, Jess.
I went out to the pub with my in-laws up in Queensland over the holidays, and we bought 4 pints of Coke for over dinner.
Okay.
Jeez, how much do you reckon,
party night.
How much do you reckon 4 pints of Coke cost?
Oh, I'd hate to say it's probably approaching $30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was $32.
$32.
$8
so even,
per pint.
Even like not even drinking alcohols.
No.
And my spidey senses were way off there. Well, it's bad news from what all reports I'm hearing and just getting confirmation now from you.
Yeah.
So is this that cost of living thing that people keep banging on about?
I was going to say, is there like a point to this? Like, are you saying it's going to start going down after that?
No, I didn't know if it was good or bad. But I assumed it felt bad, so I needed confirmation because I was like, maybe there might be other idiots like me that don't know what Cozzy Lives are right now.
It's not just bad, it's awful.
Ah, okay, all right. I'll just change my wording. It's awful, all right.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.